Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world, one of that war's most courageous, vigorous, and intrepid observers, analysts, and commentators, well, and actually combatants, for that matter, is our first guest, Diana West. We have the privilege of speaking with her each week about now. She is, of course, a longtime syndicated columnist. She blogs at dianawest.net. You can also find her writings in two best-selling books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal. Diana, it's great to have you back. Welcome.
Yes, thank you, Frank. Wonderful to be with you.
Well, I wanted to start to get your sense, Diana, of what we should make of the latest mayhem in Las Vegas, the murderous attack by a peculiar individual, as best we can tell. We are insistently assured that while we don't know what his motivations were, they weren't terrorism. Walk me through what we do know and how that could possibly be. If we don't know what his motivations are, that they are definitely not terrorism.
Yes, well, this is an attempt to control the narrative before the narrative can even be understood, which is extremely dangerous. It is absolutely irresponsible of authorities to make these kinds of sweeping statements. It doesn't help us. It doesn't secure the information we need. It doesn't keep people on the alert. It doesn't do public service. We still have a couple of ISIS statements, official statements from ISIS, as official as they can be, that do claim this individual as a soldier of Allah in varying degrees, including an Arabic name. This has to be a piece of the puzzle that good investigators weigh, just as there are reports, we don't have them confirmed in a public sense, but reports of Antifa literature in his rooms. We don't know if that's true, but to actually make this kind of statement that there is no terrorist motivation, when indeed the act in and of itself is whatever ideology, whatever motivation, it is terrorism incarnate to create such fear, carnage, death, destruction, and tearing its social fabric. It is indeed terrorism.
You know, Diana, one other data point, which I've had relayed to me, I don't know if it's true, but I believe it is. The source was impeccable. And that is that the Islamic State had, before this attack, put out a notice that in response to the increasing pressure they're under, the rolling up of their operations in Syria and Iraq, in part at our hands, that they are going to attack us here at home, going after places where large numbers of people gather and essentially serving notice on us, warning us that that is going to be forthcoming. Again, just a data point, but it infuriates me when I hear people persist, as you say, in sort of this narrative manipulation at a moment when, if anything, we need people to be more alert, more conscious of this, seeing, saying something and all that. Let me just ask you in that regard, Diana, we're increasingly confronting what seems to me, one of my colleagues has called it unrestricted warfare against freedom of speech. And in a way, this is of a piece with that, trying to, you know, discourage discussion of the possibility that there may be a Sharia supremacist connection, for example, to this attack. We don't know that, but even discussing it is considered to be impolitic, shall we say. You're looking at this closely, Diana. You've been watching what's been happening in Europe as well as here. Talk a little bit about the extent to which we are now, in effect, submitting, whether it's described as multiculturalism or political correctness or Sharia blasphemy, for that matter, to real restrictions on freedom of speech and what that portends for our republic.
Well, it's something that's been part of our lives for since 9/11, certainly. From the very start, there has been this tremendous pressure not to examine, not to study, not to understand, not to analyze, not just Islam, but also the state of Islamic immigration, the cycles of Islamic immigration and expansionism across the centuries, not to understand the eradication of host nations that accept or are invaded by Islam across centuries. We have been essentially asked to negate our own logic, curiosity, and indeed survival instinct, situational awareness in service of this narrative manipulation, ideological manipulation. But essentially what it's all about is power and control. And that is the antithesis of any kind of functioning republic. When an elite group, whether it's in media, government, in the institutions, the academia, when they control essentially your spoken word, your written word, and at a certain point, as I've been studying and writing about for many years now, and you as well, when they're controlling your thoughts, and this takes us back to, of course, in popular terms, this takes us back to George Orwell, in Made Manifest, if that's the right word, when they control your thoughts, the game is over. And this is indeed where so much of our population is. And that's why I think authorities can actually come to a microphone where before bodies have been collected and wounds have been dressed and actually state there's no terrorism connection. And many people will heed that. And that's where it gets very dangerous, when the people become sheep.
Yeah, and sheeple, as they call them. We're looking at this in a number of different respects, of course, and I'm concerned particularly that in the aftermath of this incident in Charlottesville, that the Congress of the United States and the President of the United States have been buffaloed into buying into this whole idea that we can't have hate speech. There's no room for haters. And this is certainly no endorsement of white supremacists or any other kind of supremacists for that matter. But it is to say, we need to be able to talk about these things. And it isn't hate speech to do it if what you're doing is factually describing and warning about the threats to our freedoms, including most especially our freedom of speech, which is, I think, foundational in the process. Diana, let me switch gears. Our mutual friend, Stephen Bannon, and man, I frankly do not admire very much, though he is lionized by lots of other people. Henry Kissinger seemed to be making common cause for what I have to say sounds like a good cause, warning about communist China and what it's up to. Henry Kissinger, of course, has done as much as anybody on the planet to embolden and empower communist China. So his warnings come as often these things do from him. As perhaps nothing more than guilt, but it is interesting, isn't it? And what do you think would be the upshot of such a joint effort on their part?
Well, I what will be the mechanism of power of such a joint effort? We don't know how this translates into anything outside of PR. However, I think that it is something that Steve Bannon does at his to his own peril. Henry Kissinger is the preeminent globalist in the world. Stephen Bannon has come to prominence as one of the spokesmen of America First. Henry Kissinger has created a web, an organization, an international globalist organization over many decades in public and private life. And the idea that Stephen Bannon can walk in and have it serve America's interests is frankly ridiculous. I mean, this to me is not so much serving common cause. This to me looks like co-opting a good cause.
Let's reserve judgment till we see what they say, I think, in fairness to Steve. But look, a warning about communist China from any quarter, it seems to me, is a good thing. But I think there is a danger here. Anytime you're dealing with Henry Kissinger, the kinds of conniving and service to our enemies that he has rendered over the years is not to be underestimated. Diana, we have to leave it at that provocative note. We will talk with you again next week, I hope, and thank you very much for your time today. As always, it's really great talking with you, and I look forward to our next chat. Next up, we'll talk with Luis Fleischman. We'll get an update on Latin America, Venezuela, Cuba, and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.